Over 260,700 children experienced poverty and deprivation in this country last year. That's the equivalent to the combined populations of counties Clare and Waterford. These are children who may go to bed hungry, who go to school with ill-fitting shoes and clothes, children who don't have the basics for a decent and happy life, a safe home, regular meals, education, social activities. And the longer a child stays in poverty, the greater the impact on their lives. The latest figures on child poverty come from the third annual Child Poverty Monitor of the Children's Rights Alliance. The numbers are up by 13% since 2022, and they come on the same day as the launch of the government's new Equal Start programme that's designed to target infants and children most in need. To tell us more, I'm joined by Tanya Ward, who's the Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Tanya, thank you for coming into studio to us this morning. Why is it, and we've covered this over your last monitored reports as well, but why is it in a first world country of full employment we are still seeing children experience poverty and on an increasing scale?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really starts with families not having enough just to pay for the very basic essentials. That's where poverty starts from. But unfortunately, the impacts of living through that on a daily basis for children persistently has a massive effect on them socially and emotionally and on their growth and the development. You know, not having enough to buy food means you're probably going to bed hungry several times a week. Your parents are probably very stressed, making very tough decisions about what do they pay on a daily basis. Your parents are probably going without food, and we know that for children who live through this, they pick it up from a very young age what their parents are going through, and they even stop asking for things that they might need for school. And we know the long-term consequences of this. When children live through this experience, is they don't do as well in school, they're more likely to drop out, they don't get qualifications, they're more likely to have poor access to housing, they're more likely to have poor health outcomes, and a cycle begins again with their own children. And I suppose the thing about this is it's not inevitable. We don't have to accept these kind of outcomes, and we shouldn't accept these outcomes. It's really all down to the decisions that our politicians make on an annual and a daily basis.
And I'll talk to you about the new Equal Start programme that's being launched today as well, but I just want to talk some more about that long-term impact on children. And, you know, given we are in the cycle of a cost of living crisis, and we have a housing and homelessness problem as well. And I would suggest you can't separate those issues from the poverty you're talking about.
And actually, the cost of housing is probably the biggest driver of poverty in Ireland at this moment in time. I mean, one of the things about these statistics, they won't pick up people on good incomes. There's lots of people on very good incomes whose income has been eaten by rent, who are probably, their children are probably having the same outcomes, but they won't feature in these statistics. And I suppose one of the things we're very concerned about is obviously we've got sky high child homelessness figures at this moment in time. And that's despite there's been a lot of very good prevention work actually trying to reduce the numbers of families going into homelessness. We do hear from organisations on the front line that they can't cope with the numbers. They themselves need more support. They need more child support workers to try and meet the needs of those very vulnerable children. But one thing that we have noticed through the housing crisis, we see the other side of it. You know, your DESH school, your social worker, your healthcare worker, we're hearing from those services, from the Department of Education, from TUSLA, that actually there some of the shortages happening in those areas, particularly in Dublin and other cities, is because they can't get staff to live in those areas because they can't afford the cost of housing. So housing is actually affecting all aspects, actually.
Even the delivery of services
in areas where children are very marginalised and disadvantaged. So it's a big issue. It's not just affecting the economy and business, it's also affecting services as well. And obviously you can get older social workers maybe who have their house, who were lucky enough to buy their house 10 or 20 years ago, but we need to be bringing in newer generations of these service providers.
What is this new Equal Start programme that the government is launching today, and how might it help the children that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, the Equal Start programme is probably the single most important measure any government can introduce if they want to address child poverty. We know from, there are books and shelves of evidence from other countries about if you start with infants and young children and you provide an education programme at the very start, if you provide them with food, clothing, extra support, support for their families, those children will go on to do better in school.
So from birth?
From birth, from the very start. So this programme is being launched today. It's really important that the government invests in this programme every year. We know even from the UK, which had a similar programme, which the Tories decided to kill in 2010, the children that did get to benefit from it, they're being tracked now. They all did better in their GCSEs and in their A-levels. So you're rewriting the future of these families.
And how do you deliver the aid, the help to children? Is it through increased welfare? Is it through the school system? How is it delivered to them to get the benefits that you're talking about?
There's two ways you want to do it. You want to make sure you have, you know, universal services, and the government is starting to put those measures in place. So school books are becoming free for the first time. The Minister Foley was able to extend it to first, second and third year. We're hoping she can go as far as Leaving Cert this year. That will be the norm in other countries. Hot school meals will be part to your school day. Again, they're starting to come in for primary school. That will be the norm in other countries. But alongside that, you have to actually provide extra support for the families most in need. And one area where the government hasn't succeeded, I have to say, are children who are on welfare payments. The last 3 years, actually, they have been largely ignored by each budget. Last year, their families were only given €2 a week.
This is the qualified child increase you're
That's
talking
it.
About, which is on top of the basic welfare payment.
That's it. So if you're on welfare, you get a qualified child increase for each child that you have. And
so it's €2 at the moment?
They got an extra €2 in the last budget a week. So not even the cost of a 2 litre of milk. That's all that these children got. And these are families we know that are probably eating toast several nights a week to get to the end of the week for the next welfare
payment.
You're
looking ahead to the next budget in October. What sort of an increase would you like to see just on that particular provision?
Just on that, and to deal with the cost of living increase, these children should get €6 if they're under the age of 12 and €11 over the age of 12, because actually for teenagers who are growing, who need more, it costs more to raise them. That if the government is serious about ending child poverty, they have to start with the children most in need.
All right, Tanya Ward, thank you very much for talking to us on the programme this morning.